All right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Susnow.
Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you chose to join us. Tonight our topic is finding your soul of uncertainty, and our guest is Mark Susnow. Join me in welcoming Mark to the show. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Les. I'm honored to be on your show and to have a conversation with you because I think we're very much in a line in terms of how we think, how we feel, and we each bring something different to kind of offer, perhaps a slight variation here or there, and I'm kind of curious where we're going to go and see how this evolves, and so I think this should be great.
In this moment, it's undefined, it's uncertain, it has not
uncertain. Totally uncertain.
Well,
in fact, I'm even uncertain, Les. I'm even uncertain what to say here.
I'm willing to show up a little vulnerable and naked, and we'll give it the lucid vividness it needs to take us where our souls might think we ought to be going. So I like the title, Finding Your Soul of Uncertainty. The soul of uncertainty. How did you come about that phrase?
The title?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've written some books, right?
Yes.
And I found with my first book, Dancing on the River, that coming up with a title was like getting a root canal. I remember having coffee with many people. What's a good title? And I couldn't think of anything. And then finally, after many, you know, probably about a year, the title came to me. And this time around, it came much quicker. The original title I had for this book was a working title, was called Loose Ends, Learning to Love Uncertainty. And the editor that I used for my last book, he said, you know, this book really is more like magical realism. And the title, Loose Ends, Learning to Love Uncertainty, sounds a little too much like nonfiction, and your book is not nonfiction, even though it's a self-help book. So I thought about that, and I agreed with him, and I could not think of an alternative. So I was at a party, and I was talking to somebody who I thought might become a coaching client. He just hit the profile of somebody I thought might be a good coaching client for me. And I had mentioned that I was the author of Dancing on the River. And he was really impressed that I was an author. He didn't seem to be very interested in coaching, but he liked the fact I was an author. So I said, yeah, I'm working on a new book. And I said, the working title is called Loose Ends, Learning Love and Certainty. But I'm not crazy about it. I'm kind of looking for a better title. So he said, you know what, just anything with the word soul in it. So I said, yeah, what about the soul of uncertainty? And that's how that title came. And once I said that, I loved the title, and people loved the title. And then when I got thinking about it more and more, I also, you know, being a musician and I was a poet, I wrote a book of poetry 30 years ago. And I called it Songs and Poems for All Souls. And I just, today, just typed it up and put it into you know, put a booklet form and did a plastic cover on it, just gave it away. And so I'd used the word soul before. So anyway, with this, I that's how I came to the title, The Soul of Uncertainty. And, you know, not really sure exactly what I meant by that. But I knew that there was a feeling inside us that was very deep. And if we could get in touch with that very deep grounding feeling that, 'cause, you know, when you think a word about soul, it means a lot of things to a lot of people. For example,
sure,
you might meet a musician, let's say, or a singer, and you might say, wow, they have soul. So it can mean that, and it can mean a lot of things. So I just felt for me it was something very deep. And then in the early stages of this book, I went to a workshop at Esalen that was put on by, it was more of a retreat, by a magazine called Sun Magazine. And have you heard of that one?
Yes.
Sun Magazine. And they come out of North Carolina. So I went to that retreat, and I was just, like say, in the early phases. And I think I actually was just starting, and it's when I was calling it Loose Ends. But one of the workshops I went when I was there was about soul, about what does that mean, and to, you know, to look at other articles by other writers and their definition of soul. And, you know, and then, of course, there's, you know, the Rumis and, you know, all the other Hafiz and a lot of the other well-known poets. And so that's kind of, since I've looked at that, I looked at what do I, you know, really mean. And it's that deep place inside ourselves that, you know, it's just the source of everything. And so in the talks that I gave, one of my radio shows, my guest canceled at the last minute. And so I asked the engineer on my show if he would interview me, who I'm very close with. And he said, absolutely. So I figured, okay, I'm going to be interviewed by Doug, and I want to use his time. So I came up with this idea of how we find our own soul of uncertainty, which is what, you know, we'll talk about in our time together. One of the things we'll talk about, and you know, we can go there anytime. And you know, I just kind of wanted to know if you have any, you know, questions you want to ask before we get in there.
Well, I like where you're going. Let's go ahead and engage and go there.
All right. So what I say to people is that, you know, if we look to some of the ancient teachings, like in the, say, the Hebrew alphabet, the Babylonian alphabet, the Greek alphabet, each letter has meaning. Each letter has meaning. And in the Western culture, our letters don't quite have the same meaning, but what we do is we use acronyms. So I looked at what if we use the word soul as an acronym. And so that's what I did, and that's what I did with. And this just came to me, this whole thing, this whole idea, before the interview with Doug, like 5 minutes before. And all of a sudden it came to me, and I said, I love this. And since then, I've done several talks kind of on this idea. And so if we look at it as an acronym, I kind of raised the question of, what does S stand for? And I mentioned to other people, I asked other people, like, what does the S stand for? What does it represent? And so I would say to you, we'll just kind of act like this would be a talk I'm giving. And I said to you, what comes to you when you look at the word soul as an acronym, when you think of the letter S? What does it represent for you?
Source, the source of me, the source of my consciousness.
Source. Mm-hmm. Okay. Source. Anything else?
I thought Source would do it. Supply, but that's kind of Source. I'm kind of drawing a blank here.
Okay. Well, Source is definitely there. Source is definitely Source. The first word that came up to me was stillness and silence. And then a friend of mine said, what about spirit? And it's interesting. I gave this talk to at a metaphysical bookstore. And when I said the letter S, people came up with a snake, infinity. It just, you know, but again, infinity could be the source of all, too.
Sure,
kind
yeah.
Kind of in line
yeah.
with what you're thinking. So I went ahead with that, and I said, okay, for my model. And again, there's not like this is an absolute. This is just for me in terms of my model. And what I like about stillness and silence is that I think when you get this, the real stillness and silence, then you can access the source. You have access to it.
Right.
But if you don't have that stillness, it's difficult to access that real source of all things, of all possibilities. So then we go to the O, right? So I would say to you, what does O represent for you in this model here?
All right. I see where this is going.
You do? Well, good.
there's probably two more letters after this one. Now, omnipotent, like infinite potential, omnipotent.
Uh-huh. Omnipotent.
Yeah, sure.
Right. That's, yeah, okay. For me, in other words, this is so when you look at the talk is about, you know, this, how do you find your soul of uncertainty so that you can more or less navigate these difficult times, so you can stay sane in these uncertain times, and to stay sane as you delve into the unknown, of the unpredictable. So the O really, and it, with that in mind, represents openness.
Nice. Yeah, I like that.
Right. And to be open, you have to really let go a lot of your negative thinking.
Right.
I mean, that's the key to staying open, is to, you know, to give up these negative thoughts, these negative ideas. And so that's really what the O represents, is how do you stay open to let go of your limiting beliefs, letting go of your judgments.
Right, yes.
Judgments is a big one. Yeah. So that's what the O represents. So you want to go for the U?
Uncertainty is what I'm feeling. coming up with U, I would say for the U, I would say unconditional love.
Okay. I mean, again, there's no right or wrong, but of the model
sure.
I'm using, and this is part of the discussion about unconditional love, if we're, you know, definitely, that is in the model, by the way. That's, you know, I don't want to tell you where that is, although it's not hard to figure out, but because there's only one more letter. But the U is about being unattached and about being unattached to outcome. Right.
Nice.
Because
I really like
we
that.
Know from the, you know, the Buddhist teachings, they talk a lot about suffering is really, and you know, suffering is the cause. I mean, disappointment and attachment is the cause of suffering.
Oh, sure. Well, and the idea of unattachment from the ego perspective is your soul can have a plan, if you will, on how something's going to come about or come into fruition. And if your mind is unattached to let it happen any which way it wants, it gives your soul much
right.
more freedom. So I really like that.
Right. Yeah. So that's the U, and you already got the L, which is?
Love.
Yes. So that's the model of so by using the acronym, it's a reminder of, and all these things are part of it in terms of source, unconditional love, and all these things are part of this model to think, okay, well, what can I do in this time of stress, time of uncertainty? What can I do to find my own soul of uncertainty? And I suggest you think of this acronym and think about how you can apply it every day in your life.
There's something that happens when you noodle an idea like that. You have an acronym and you take time and you ponder each one of those attributes. It opens up your mind to have new inspiration. So it's a very powerful way to move forward.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Again, it came up originally right when this other person had canceled. And so it was total, you know, I wasn't attached, right, to the outcome, because I knew, plus, you know, I had other shows that were pre-recorded that I haven't posted yet. So it wasn't like I wasn't going to have a show. But because my book had just come out, I said, you know what, why don't I get interviewed by Doug, who I felt very close to, and talk a little bit about my book, The Soul of Uncertainty, which people, in all my books, people can get on Amazon, Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes, and Discover the Leader Within is just a Kindle. But all the other books are both Kindles and print books. And so here was an opportunity for me to talk, you know, about my book since it just came out. So,
sure.
But since then, I've given this, you know, this talk probably 7 or 8 times, and it keeps evolving as people contribute ideas and it keeps expanding you know, I don't know where it's going to go, but it's certainly something to think about and to raise a lot of possibilities. I know when I gave that talk and they started bringing up infinity and a snake, and it certainly, you know, was an audience of about 30 people, and everybody just started throwing in ideas. And to look at that, look at how does this all fit in terms of where we're going. And so it's also when things don't go exactly the way we anticipated, how do we flow with the river, right? How do we flow with the river where the river's going?
Right.
How do we flow with the current? And so all these ideas are in a similar vein.
Well, it's what I really like about the idea of it, especially with the uncertainty, and is the ability for our soul to guide us, to show up and give us that inspiration, that guidance, that direction in these times of uncertainty. So we can have a positive effect. We're not, to get us out of the observer role where we're watching the chaos, we're watching the uncertainty, we're watching the difficulties that the collective consciousness is having. But when we can be inspired by our soul, when we can have that inner vision show up and then get excited, and through the intent that we have, we become a creative source, a source of creation of the future. And that's always a powerful place to be.
It is. It is. And think about the stillness and silence. I've, you know, in the 70s, my life fell apart. My whole world collapsed. And it was my first real crisis. And as we know, and you know, when things happen, that at first we look as something negative, usually it's a blessing in disguise. And it turned out that when my first marriage ended, it was a blessing in disguise. And from that, I got into meditation. And
right.
And I've been meditating now for 40 years, and I do yoga in the morning and meditate, and And it's allowed me to access that inner state of stillness. And so after a while, it just kind of seeps into your whole being to where, you know, you can interact with people from a place of stillness to where you don't overreact. And
right.
You can be spontaneous because you're not attached to the way it's got to go. You can just kind of flow with what is. And I remember one of the most valuable things I ever did in terms of my own process of becoming freer was improv theater. I did a year of that. And when I was a lawyer, I did that. And it was amazing how much I grew from that year of improv theater. It's amazing.
Well, I like that. The whole idea of improv lets the moment decide, lets the moment create. I like what you were saying about being still in the presence of others. And I think sometimes when our brains get so busy and kind of fast in the fast forward mode, we miss opportunities because we're not present in our own bodies when that inspiration to change the way we drive home, change who we talk to at a gathering, that stillness really is a very powerful place to be in. And like you had shared, it didn't happen overnight, did it?
It doesn't happen overnight, no.
It takes some doing to let go. That brings us back to this idea of uncertainty, to let go and just be still in the moment. To the ego, to the Western mind, being still and doing nothing seems like there's no power to it. But once you try it as a practice, it can change everything.
It's amazing. It's fun because I definitely have, because I have done this a long time, I just find that I'm more comfortable in more and more situations. And one thing I like to do is to, you know, be the observer. What I always talk about doing is we go to the health food store, anything we do, we get gas, or so many times we just go through the motions. Maybe we have a list of the health food store. We go to bring some clothes to the cleaner or going to the movie. It's just like, almost like a procedure,
yeah,
instead of an interaction. And so I always recommended my coaching clients, people I coach to, I said, you know, people, and when I give talks, I said, they have name tags, not for you to reprimand them, but to say, hi, thank you, Les, thank you for being here, thank you for helping me, and hey, how are you today, Les? And people love it when you call them by their name. And
oh, yeah.
So I just got it because I would tell all my coaching clients, you know, to suggest to them to greet people by their name. I started doing that myself. And if I didn't do it, I really was aware of it. So one time I was in Trader Joe's and sometimes it leads to like some very funny experiences. I was in Trader Joe and I'm in the checkout line and the checker, he's like, juggling. He takes my groceries out of the basket. He juggles it through the scanner and puts it onto the counter on the other side. And I look at the guy and I go, Bill, I go, you should have been in a circus. He said, well, my best friend owns a circus. He wanted me to join the circus, but they didn't have very good benefits. So I decided that I wasn't going to do it. I would just stay, you know, I would just stay here at Trader Joe's, right? And he kept on juggling the whole time. And so the next time I came back, I haven't seen the guy since. They probably didn't like that idea. Probably fired him or something. But I thought it was funny how, you know, you get into people and you ask them their story. And people have amazing stories. But you won't know it if you don't take the time to listen.
Oh, sure.
And you know, it's interesting in the work that I do, it's kind of difficult sometimes when you really kind of change people's lives, how you talk about it, to come up when people ask you what you do, you struggle with it. And so I've come up with a new way to describe what I do. And it was, you know, I talked about, you know, my website for people that want to get a hold of me is inspirepossibility.com. It's all one word, singular. And so I look at how do I say sometimes, well, I inspire possibilities, people's lives, as a coach, as a speaker, as an author. And so then I got into this idea that I'm a life coach and strategist. And then somebody suggested, rather than that, to say that I'm a life design strategist, an inspirational speaker and author, which I really like. And I think that's really what I do, is I inspire people to really design their lives in a way that they've always wanted it to be, in a way that perhaps they gave up on. And so when people contact me, I give them 40 minutes to talk to me about what their vision is, to see if it's something that I can help them kind of motivate, to kind of help them really design the life, to create a strategy to help them design the life they really want in their careers and their personal life. And that's kind of what I've been doing now for 18 years.
Well, I like that.
And I like the way I just said that. I got to remember what I just said. To develop a strategy so they can really design their life the way they really want it to be.
And
I think that's pretty good.
I do too. And when they're successful at that, they'll have a sense of empowerment where they can continue to design their life as they evolve over their lifetime. It's like if you ski down mountains on snow skis, a lot of times when people are first learning, they lean backwards and all their weight's on the back of the ski. Well, you don't have any control.
Right.
It's like you're reacting to everything. But if you get the courage enough to lean forward a little bit, then the skis start tracking. And all you have to do is move your knees one side or the other, and you can go wherever you want gracefully. So what really struck me about what you had just said about designing, strategizing, the idea, the vision of what that person's life could be, and then bring about the steps to make it so, that's that lean into life sort of thing. That's that lean forward sort of thing where you're being proactive and engaging your potential to create and then seeding it with the vision, the dream that makes you feel inspired and fulfilled. I like that a lot.
I what you just said is great, Les. I'm hopefully I'll get the link to this interview. So I can print this out. This is so good, this whole conversation, in terms of describing exactly what we do, you know.
Oh, sure.
I like that, lean into life rather than to lean back, to not really go for it, to just, you know, not really go for it. You know, because so many people have been disappointed so often that they're reluctant to go for it again.
Oh yeah, they've resigned. They're treading water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so
I think your soul will gladly kick your ass. Your soul will gladly say yes to any vision, any scale of vision that you can get excited about, and. We had just mentioned that some people had given up and resigned over the idea of being able to fulfill. But if you take it from the other side and you approach it with incremental intentions, incremental visions, where you have success, and then you think about it a little bigger and do it again and have success, and think about it a little bigger and have success. You're flexing that muscle of trust, and you're also developing a habit of proactive accountability, if you will, where that inspiration from your soul doesn't sit dormant, but you're actively engaged in bringing it about. If you can develop a pattern of that, and so to the point where your ego will trust that it'll come about, and then go to your soul and say, well, damn it, what can we accomplish? What is possible in this lifetime? And that's when the really big stuff starts coming through. It's like, well, you could really kick some ass if you choose to.
Right. Well, you know, I'm so glad, you know, in the year 2000 that I, you know, made the decision to give up my career as a lawyer. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't like it. But the real passion I had for being a lawyer, why I wanted to be a lawyer in the first place, that was like, you know, 25 years before. But sure. I, you know, I was reaching a new phase, especially with the new millennium, the year 2000. And I said, you know, I know there's another thing out there, and I don't even know what it is. But I know unless I make a change, which, again, was inspired by the idea of, you know, the year 2000, the new millennium, I would never find it. And that was 18 years ago. And I had a, you know, my family was young at the time. I had young kids. But I, you know, I kind of went for it. And it's 18 years later, and I'm excited about who I am and, you know, love the things I'm doing. And enjoying life. And, you know, I think that happiness is something that people wonder about. And I've interviewed people, and in my own experience, I think it's a choice, that it comes down to a choice you make. And I know that you don't have to have a reason to be happy.
Right.
Marcy Shymoff, who was on my show, wrote a book about that. I interviewed a man who started the I Am Happy Project, who was honored by the United Nations. He talks about it being a skill set. It's a skill set that we kind of learn, too. It's a choice and a skill set. And I think for people out there, again, you don't have to have a reason to be happy. You can just wake up with a smile on your face and decide that just the stand you take. You know, you see life as supportive, as abundant, and you decide that, you know, you're going to be feel blessed and feel grateful rather than resentful. And every day we get to make that choice. And some days it's harder to make, and some days, you know, maybe you're not quite there. But at least to have that as a default position to come back to. Because, again, all this stuff is a process. And you know, there's some days just you just don't feel that way. It's kind of discouraged. But ultimately, if we have that morning practice, you know, which I'm big on morning meditation, is that we, you know, we come back to that each day, and that really empowers us.
Oh, sure. It's it always pays off to grow yourself. It always pays off to develop habits and traits that serve you and happiness, that idea of flexing that happiness muscle is really essential. Well, you know, you said something, and I wanted to go back to what you said, because you said in the year 2000 that you decided to make this change, but one sentence really kind of grabbed me, because you said you had a young family at the time. And if you're the breadwinner and you change what you're doing, that's a very bold thing to do. To take an existing platform, being a lawyer, and saying, you know, right, what, it doesn't, something here doesn't feel right. Something here,
right,
there's something else going on. I mean, how do you work
through
something like that?
And again, it wasn't because it wasn't like I disliked it, but I just felt that I plateaued in terms of my own, you know, life seemed to me a little stagnant, and I just wanted a different experience. And that led to a lot of changes that just happened in the last 18 years, you know. But I've less how these books came about, like Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes, and you know, Life Changes, and living in a way I never thought was possible. And I live with my 30-year-old daughter now. You know, who would ever thought, you know, I'd be doing that, and her dog. And I mean, my life is so different that, but it feels really good. It feels very, I feel very fulfilled and stimulated. And one thing I'm always in is I know we're running out of time, is I always suggest to the people that I work with as their life design strategist and coach, is to, in the morning, to ask yourself a question, and which is, I wonder what the highlight of my day is going to be. So I'm always in that question about, so questions can really empower us, or they can destroy us. So the questions we choose really determine our experience of life. So I'm always in that question. I'm curious what the highlight of my day is going to be. So it creates an expectation of something good's going to happen. So I'm in that question, and it can be a meeting you go to, or and, you know, I wonder what the highlight of the meeting is going to be, or you can ask yourself the question, I'm curious who I have the best connection with. Because when we go to a lot of meetings, we meet a lot of new people, so I'm always in that question. And so what happens is when I go to a meeting, instead of thinking, oh, I don't want to go, it's going to be boring, the people are going to be boring, or I've heard this before, I'm in that question, I'm curious who I'm going to have the best connection with. And what has shifted from when I first got into this work, you know, 18 years ago, I didn't consider myself a great connector necessarily, right. or having right. a lot of friends, but now I've just have developed that in such a way that I feel so confident that I'm just a great connector, and I enjoy meeting new people, and it adds a richness to my life, and a lot of my relationships have deepened in so many different ways that it makes life just so much more meaningful and fulfilling.
Well, you are probably not seeing yourself as an author growing up, I'm guessing here, and now that you've written some books, what I'm getting at is, like, I can speak for myself. There were decades of my life where had you asked me, "Are you an author? Are you going to write books?" I would have said not only no, but hell no. And yet, right. here I am writing books, and I love it. I just flippin' love it. And I guess
English was my worst subject in school. I got C's and D's.
I tell my editor I put commas in paragraphs like I put salt on my steaks. And she rolls her eyes. But what I'm getting at is this idea of soul uncertainty. I mean, a soul is ageless. A soul doesn't have any notion of limitation at any point in our life. It's kind of our Western dogma that says we're supposed to lower the sail and just kind of drift, retire. When you think of the uncertainty of your human potential as it relates to the rest of your life, do you get any kind of notions that there could be even new chapters and new paradigms that would unfold for you?
I know there will be. And, you know, I'm not sure, like, how it's all come down, like the radio show, how that's evolved. My coaching practice, you know, speaking to groups, coming up with new things to talk about. And ultimately, you know, as we age, we have to face death, you know, our own passing, and look at that as, you know, looking at that as an adventure. You know, I think at some point, you know, as we face our own mortality or have illnesses and, you know, we see people passing, we start to look at, perhaps death is the ultimate adventure. I mean, I don't know, you know, and But I think for me is what I want to kind of, I don't know if there's anything new, but to deepen is my ability to really connect with people and tune into them, because when you can really connect on that soul level, right, that soul level, like in yoga, you know, they you know, the phrase namaste, right? Like the innermost part of me really honors the inner part most of you, which is really, it's really honoring our soul connection. And so I would say for me, what I think is going to be even more exciting is my ability to really deepen that soul connection I have with other kindred souls. And I always say thing I always bring up is that what I think we're all doing with this kind of interaction is really connecting with our tribe of kindred souls. We're gathering our tribe of kindred souls. It's kind of what I feel we're all doing right now.
Right. I like that. Well, let's shift this and take a look at your platform, how you interact with your clients and the types of people you work with. Can you give us an outline of your platform and how you work with clients?
Yeah, what I do is I like to get a sense of I do, you know, I have a questionnaire I ask people. It's like an intake to kind of get to, you know about generally their lives, you know, what they're, a lot about them. And I've worked on this a lot. So I've got it down to like 2 hours to where I can, in that 2 hours or even an hour and a half, I got a sense of who someone is. And I kind of know pretty much where they're stuck, pretty much where they limit themselves. And we start there. And then we talk on a regular basis about how they can expand, how they can keep growing, and how they can go beyond their limitations, their self-imposed limitations. And so I talk to them on the phone mainly. So that's one aspect of what I do. I give programs to organizations on change and leadership and possibility. And I love to do that. I love to talk to groups. And again, I've always, at some level, been talking to groups in terms of when I was a lawyer, when I was a musician. I like to interact. I like people and get to know them, and I'm curious. So to, you know, with my clients, to really find out about them and who they are and what their potential is. And usually I can see someone's potential more than they can, because I think we're so hard on ourselves, and we quite often, our sense of ourself is so much less than how other people see us. And that's kind of what I do, and I think what a coach does. It kind of sees you, what your potential is. It sees you for who you are, sees you in a way that you don't get yourself. So essentially my platform for the one-on-one work is through these conversations that each time we talk, hopefully deepen, and the different talks I give, and they can be anywhere. You know, they can be anywhere, and I've done them all over, and then of course the writing that I do. And another thing, if people want to find out about my work, they can sign up for my newsletter, and on a monthly basis, they would receive inspiration from me, different inspirational messages, and that they just go to my website, inspirepossibility.com, to sign up for my newsletter. And I've been doing this for 18 years now, writing the newsletter. I think I've done 180 of them now. And a lot of them went into my first book, Dancing on the River. But that's kind of what I do. And I like doing that because, you know, it challenges me. And one thing I realized about myself is I like challenges. I like to challenge myself because it stimulates me. And like in the last 5 years, I decided I wanted to play piano. I already played five instruments, and all of a sudden I started learning piano. So that's like the latest, you know, challenge. I like challenges. It challenges, I think, in some ways lets us know we're alive. It brings us alive, where if we have done some for a long time and it's a routine, we lose that edge. And I think that knowing you're alive gives you that edge and kind of adds, it stimulates you. And I kind of enjoy that, to be stimulated. Like, I don't watch television. Although I am a Warrior fan, so I love to watch the Warriors. So it's not all true.
Right. Well, now, who would you say is your ideal client? Describe your ideal client.
I think it's somebody that is somewhat successful in what they do, that maybe have reached a plateau, and they need some new stimulation. But I like to work with some people that have a sense of what success is, but they're not really, they're not really living up to their capacity. And I like to help people discover what their potential is, to inspire them and to encourage them, and to let them know, you know what, I know what you can do. I've seen other people, because now I've been doing this for 18 years, and I've seen a lot of people create miracles in their lives, terms of the changes they make and just the way they see themselves and the way they interact. Because a lot of times, you know, how you change your life is changing how you think, and also changing your ability to interact with other people so you can connect more and you listen more. So people that are motivated about finding more meaning in their life, more fulfillment, and more joy, people that really want to have more joy in their life is something that is somebody who's motivated to do that. I know what you're capable of. You don't know what you're capable of, but I do.
Nice.
And I want to kind of get you to get that. I want you to get what I already know about you.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.